Let us bow together in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the written word. We thank you that you have preserved it through the ages. We thank you for translators who have given it to us in our own language. And we pray that as we look into it this morning, you will grant us knowledge and wisdom. We pray, Lord, that you will draw us closer to you and let us have spiritual fellowship with you through the word today. And by this word, we pray that we will learn to know Jesus better and better, and that we will repent more and more for our sins. Help us, Lord, to understand and to implement your holy will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. My scripture text this morning is Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 12. I'll be speaking to you about confessing Christ or denying him, a choice that everyone has to make. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 through 12. Let us give our attention to God's holy word. Also, I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And thus we end the reading of God's holy word. The Lord Jesus, in this section of the gospel, is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. He is nearing the end of his earthly ministry. He is giving instruction to his disciples before he leaves them and ascends to heaven. And he's telling them, surely, that they will be persecuted. He is preparing them for that. He is letting them know so it will not catch them by surprise. And he is giving them instruction and exhortation that they may not fail in the time of testing. Of course, some of the times they do, as we do sometimes. But we are not without help. We are not without his support and his strength, and this is what he assures them of. Back in verse 4, he said, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, because indeed, most at least of the apostles would give their lives because they were his apostles, because they were connected with Christ." And this was a very serious word that the Lord was giving them. Their lives would be taken from them. But their Father cares for them, and Jesus wants them to know that. And he wants us to know that. And he tells his disciples that in spite of the fact that they will be persecuted, even most of them to death, they must not deny him. And that is his message for us as well. Even though we might be under pressure in various circumstances of our lives, and we will be from time to time, we are not to deny our Lord. And in order to live that way, we need his strength, because we cannot do it in our own strength. The Lord says that when the disciples are taken before authorities, they will be given what to say. Certainly, that would be stressful, to be taken before authorities and told, deny Christ or lose your life. So he prepares them. And in the midst of this preparing them, he also says something that at first seems not to fit in, and that is, he talks about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So we hope to get to that too. So in this text, the Lord promises to take care of his people, but he requires us to be faithful to him, confess him, and not deny him. So today I speak to you about confessing or denying. First of all, confess Christ before men. Confess him publicly and willingly. Secondly, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Of course, no Christian would want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit will teach you in these circumstances. The Spirit will teach you. First of all, he tells us to confess Christ before men in verses 8 and 9. He says, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him will the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." So that's a very clear message. If we deny Christ in public before others, then at the last day, at the final judgment, when the angels of God are gathered for that judgment to observe it, the Lord Jesus will deny us, and we would not be admitted to heaven. But those who confess Christ before men here on earth, he will confess them before the Father and the angels of God at the last day, the day of judgment. In that last day, as we stand before judgment, if we have confessed Christ truly, he will say in essence to the Father, "These are my people. These are the people for whom I shed my blood. These are the people for whom I died and rose again. They are safe. I have covered their sins. They have confessed me." And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He will say, "Welcome, my beloved. Enter into the joy of your Lord," which is what all of us want to hear. But also, for the rest of their lives on earth, the apostles were to be faithful and to confess Jesus Christ, as we are looking forward to that final day. But we know what happened, don't we? We know the story of Peter. We know that Peter and Jesus had this conversation, Jesus and all the disciples. He told them the shepherd would be struck and the sheep would be scattered. But of course, they had a problem with that. And Peter spoke up and he said, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I never will be made to stumble." Jesus says, "Well, Peter, before the rooster crows three times in the morning, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." He still resisted. "Even if I have to die with you," Peter said, "I will not deny you." But not only Peter, all the other disciples said the same thing. And then, of course, Peter went on to deny him three times. And when he was being tried, all the disciples fled. They ran away. And after this, we are told that Peter wept bitterly, knowing his denial when he had protested so strongly that he would not. Well, in verse 10 of my text, Luke 12:10, Jesus said, "Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him." So later, after Jesus arose from the dead, he had another conversation with Peter. And you can imagine how soul-stirring, how humiliating, and how painful this conversation would have been. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, I ask, do you love me? All three times he says, yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. And so Jesus tells him three times to get back to work. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. For Peter was forgiven. Thank God he was forgiven for his denial of Jesus. And he was put to work in the vineyard of the Lord, where he served not perfectly but faithfully and died for the Lord. Now we make confessions of faith in Jesus Christ. We make a confession of faith in Jesus before the congregation, publicly. People hear us. They are witnesses of our confession. And we have other opportunities to confess that we are Christians. Sometimes we might be among a crowd of people who are not believers, and conversations will come up in which we have opportunities to say things that are consistent with God's word and with faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we fail. Sometimes we don't. The Lord calls us to be faithful, to not be humiliated, to be a Christian in ourselves, but if other people want to humiliate us, then they can. And we all, like Peter, have had times when we fail. But remember this also. Before Peter denied Jesus, there was another conversation in which Jesus said in Luke 22, in which is recorded in Luke 22, 31 and 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Luke 22, 31 and 32. The Lord Jesus Christ told Peter that he had prayed for him. And he prays for us, his people today. Even before we get into the critical situation, before we get into the crisis, before we get into this pressure, he has prayed for us. He is thinking of us. He is superintending us. He is watching over us. And he is present with us in the hour to strengthen us at that time. The Lord Jesus Christ is our mediator, our intercession. He watches over his sheep. And we are not alone. When we fail, when we stray from the flock, our good shepherd does his job. He brings us back. Thanks be to God for that. So first of all, every human being must decide whether to confess Christ as Lord or not. Secondly, we are told in this passage not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, but to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. When a person blasphemes God, he shows lack of respect for him, shows contempt for God. And whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Now, a little background to this text will help us here. In Luke 11, verse 15, the Pharisees had said to Jesus, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons, Luke 11:15. And Jesus replied in 11:20, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Jesus said, "No, I don't cast out demons by the prince of demons. I cast out demons by the finger of God." Now, Matthew records this in chapter 12, verse 28 of Matthew like this. Jesus says, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Matthew 12:28. Matthew tells us that these exorcisms were done by the Spirit of God. And so when the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by the prince of demons, by Satan himself, as the Holy Spirit worked through him, they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They disrespected him willingly and forcefully. "But those who sin against the Son of Man will be forgiven," we were told. And we had the example of Peter, who was forgiven for denying Jesus. And we have the example of the two criminals who were crucified with Jesus. Matthew 27:44 tells us that both of them reviled Jesus at first. Matthew 27:44. Both of those criminals reviled Jesus on the cross with him. But later, one of them repented, and we know that he was forgiven, even though he had reviled Jesus. And the same is the case with Paul. First, we knew him as Saul, who persecuted Christians and rejected Christ, was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But later he repented and was forgiven when he responded to the Spirit's call. To speak a word against Christ refers to a specific action. While rejecting the testimony of the Holy Spirit is a continuous and never-ending sin. Blasphemy against the Spirit is not just a one-time act, but a strong determination to reject him and his message, a continuous determination to do so. There's no forgiveness where there's no repentance. Now, later in time, after this time in our text, the Holy Spirit would come at Pentecost. He would clearly reveal Jesus as the Messiah. And some of these same people would continue to reject the witness of the Spirit. They would still resist the gospel. The Pharisees at large, most of them, willingly, continuously, deliberately rejected what the Spirit showed to them, that Jesus was the Christ, and committed blasphemy against the Spirit. Rather than humble themselves and repent, they hardened themselves. And when people harden themselves and continue to harden themselves and harden themselves, eventually it results in a seared conscience. And they will have no forgiveness. They will have committed the sin unto death, mentioned in 1 John 5:16. They brought condemnation on themselves. We also need to keep in mind that among the enemies of Jesus, and even among the Pharisees, some of these people did repent. And we're thankful for that. While on the cross, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then we read in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit came, thousands were converted. And no doubt, some of them had previously rejected Christ. Paul, as mentioned earlier, or Saul, was a Pharisee who came to know Christ. If you are a Christian, you will not blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about that. You repent of your sins. You don't continue to resist the Spirit. But there are many times when we fail to heed the Holy Spirit working in the Word in our hearts. Of that, we do need to repent. And when we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We often fail to walk in the Spirit. Instead, we often walk in the flesh. But the Spirit works positively for us, and we should receive that work gladly and cooperate with it as He enables us. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, we are told. The word for the Spirit can mean helper, comforter, intercessor, mediator, advocate, one called along one side. He comforts us. The Holy Spirit comforts us with the Word of God. He comforts us when we hurt. As we refer to the Word, as we remember the promises of God, He works in our hearts to comfort us at times when we need comforting. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4 says, God comforts us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are also comforted by God. 2 Corinthians 1 4. That comfort comes to us from the Spirit, and it comes to us not just to comfort us, for which we would be thankful enough, but so that we can share it with other people, so that we can comfort others as well. He is our comforter. He is also the one who leads us into truth. John 16, 13 says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, John 16, 13. And to the apostles, of course, it meant that He would help them remember what Jesus had taught them. It meant that also He would guide them and associates of theirs to write the New Testament that we have today. The Spirit guides us into truth as we study the Word and as we hear the Word today, and thus in our worship services we have a prayer for illumination when we pray for the Spirit to give us understanding as we open the Word. And the Spirit had another function which was of great importance. John 16:14 says, is where Jesus says, He, the Spirit, will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. John 16:14. Besides reinforcing to the disciples what Jesus had taught, He would, in doing this, glorify Jesus. And as the apostles preached the Word and the Spirit spoke through them, He would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Spirit works in us, He will lead us not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify Christ. Because the Spirit-led life and the Christian life is not a self-centered life, but a Christ-centered life. He will lead us to glorify Christ. And finally, the Spirit will sanctify us. 1 Peter 1, 2 speaks of the sanctification of the Spirit. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us, purifies us, makes us holy. We never become holy in this life. We more and more approach it. We get more and more sanctified, but not completely holy. But the Spirit is working that in us with the Word and sacraments. He works in us to make us holy, so that His fruit comes forth through us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So here we are being told not to follow the Pharisees in blaspheming the Spirit, but instead we should listen to his appeals and follow him as he leads us. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit will teach you, Jesus says in verses 11 and 12. Jesus' followers would be brought before the authorities. In verse 11, now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, they would be given what to say. Do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. It's hard to imagine what it would be like to stand before a civil authority, a governing authority, sitting on his judgment seat, you standing before him, and beside that ruling authority standing a man with a sharp sword, and the authority saying to you, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Are you one of his followers? But that did happen. And the Lord Jesus brings this up to his apostles and to others who could hear him while he was speaking this. And he says, when that happens, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. I imagine it'd be hard to say anything. But the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. So we turn in the New Testament, we keep reading the New Testament, we come to Acts chapter 4. And what do we find? Acts chapter 4. Beginning at verse 8, Peter is before the authorities. Acts 4, verse 8. And they ask him, by what power or by what name have you done this? Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, did you get that? Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be made known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. And he continues to preach Jesus right before the authorities. Filled with the Spirit. That's the same man who denied Jesus three times at his trial because the Spirit gave him what to say. And then we read on in Acts and we see it time and again, even further in chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. The apostles are called again. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, this is Acts 4:19, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts 4, verse 20. So before Peter denied Jesus three times, and here, Peter and John say, we can't stop speaking about Jesus because the Spirit of God gave them what to say. And then there was Paul, who had opportunities like this. In Acts chapter 26, he was brought before King Agrippa and Festus. He told his story, how he had formerly persecuted Christians and how the Lord had spoken to him and called him to himself. And then in Acts 26, 22, and 23, Paul said, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people, and to the Gentiles, Acts 26:22-23. And then Felix responded, "You're beside yourself. You've gone mad, Paul." And Agrippa said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." But Paul would continue to speak to them as the Spirit gave him words. The Spirit gave them what to say. And the Spirit will be with us to strengthen us and give us what to say. So Jesus said, don't worry about it. He will give you the words. I know some people who believe that this applies to preachers. Don't worry about your sermons. Just get up there and the Spirit will give you what to say. And some of us have preached like that sometimes, no doubt. But I know people who sincerely believe this. It's their theory of preaching. But Jesus wasn't talking about preaching in the church. For we know we're also told to study the word, to meditate upon it, to be diligent, to be men of God. However, the Spirit does still help the minister as he studies and as he preaches. We know that. The Spirit of God, when not blasphemed, enters into the hearts of people and leads them and guides them and helps them. But we need to have a storehouse of Scripture for him to use. As the psalmist said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so the more we study and meditate upon the word, the more the Spirit has to work with in us as we come into these situations. The Spirit of God gives us what to speak today from this book. So why are so many people turning to self-help books and self-help articles online? Because they need help. The greatest help is in the divine book, as the Spirit teaches us from it. And yes, other things can help us, I admit. Other books can help us. Other articles online can help us as they come into line with God's Word. This is what the Spirit uses. While we are under pressure in this world to give an answer to someone who asks us a serious question or puts pressure on us to confess that we belong to Christ, don't forget this. The Spirit of God does not lead us to deny Jesus Christ. He leads us to confess him. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant us grace and strength from your Spirit that we might make this stand for Jesus Christ, that others may come to know him and know him better. O Lord, do give us courage in that hour when we are pressed. And help us to remember, yes, we are sinners and we fail, but you forgive and you restore. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.